My name is Brian. We've talked before. It's a pleasure to meet you. Over here, Azeron, this is Jim, my co-host, our co-host.
Hey. What's up, Jim?
This game
and
is awesome.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I sent Jim the beta as well, since it's better if we both can talk about it. So I sent it over to him as well.
No, that's good. I was hoping we'd get a chance to play it.
Yeah, I've put about an hour and a half into it, so I'm pretty excited.
Hey, so
I was just playing it like 5 minutes ago, and I just found out how to jump from system to system.
Yeah, kind of by accident. Apparently, now that we have the documentation on the phone with us, let me fire this thing up, because I'm trying to figure this out, and I know there's like more layers to this onion than what I'm seeing.
Are you recording right now, Jim?
I am, but I can like stop that.
No, keep going. This is kind of funny.
Okay.
Right on.
So, let's do the walkthrough, right? Because I got my Xbox controller wired up, and it seems like are you developing it primarily to use the Xbox controller?
It's just what I use because it's handy, and when I do the Oculus Rift, I like to have a controller that I can kind of map everything to and not have to worry about a big like flight stick and stuff. Like, yeah, I have an X50.
You don't want anything you have to look at, because see, that's a thing about the Oculus Rift, right? Like, keyboard control is right out because you can't see your keyboard.
Yeah, it makes it really hard.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, like, wow. Okay, so I'm on the front thing and I hit start, and and I'm looking at this map here. And and I know if I hit the start button, I jump in. But then I was like, if I point at different ships, I assume the green ones are happy ships, then I can select like the Starfall Inquisition, right? So I hit X and I select it, and then I can give it a move order. But it's not really moving, although I see enemy ships kind of moving around in the map. Yep. So,
I'm correct, you're moving it to where you want it to be when it jumps into the system initially. Is that correct?
You can do both. So basically what you're doing is, when you're setting up a move order, like, you're in the planning phase, right, when you jump in, and everything else is kind of like the ant farms running in the background, right? And then you can basically move your ships where you want to, so you're right there, Brian, but you can also queue up orders. So you could say, jump in, attack this one ship, and then, you know, shift click the other ship to say attack him after that. So basically it's like an RTS style like control scheme. And then when you hit go, they all jump in, and then they'll actually carry out your orders.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, so I've selected this guy, and then I can give him a move order, right? And then I'm pointing at like a diamond, which is an enemy ship off somewhere, right? And do I have to move him over there?
You don't have to. Like you can move him closer if you feel like you're going to be at more of a like a tactical advantage, because
going to jump in, or is that like he's going to jump in where he's at and then he'll move over that way?
Yeah, so he'll jump in right where that model is. Like, that is his entry point into the system.
Okay, and that's is that unchangeable?
You can move it around with the mouse. So, like, you can grab it at the... you guys ever play Warhammer? You ever play any of those kind of games?
Yeah.
So, like, you can move it around by the base. So you can move him horizontally by clicking on the base and then moving him around and dragging it around like that. And then you can also click on him himself and then move it up and down.
Okay, because so I'm clicking on him. You can kind of
change wherever he's...
Maybe my mouse is broken. Uh-huh. I'm clicking on the green guy. Like, I picked the biggest ship, right? So
yeah,
I click him, and then I'm like trying to move him, but it's not really moving him.
Gotcha. Are you dragging directly on him?
Yes.
Okay. Weird. Are you using gamepad controls, or are you using?
Well, I've got the gamepad hooked up, but I'm using the mouse right now.
Gotcha. Try hitting G and see if that and then see if it works. This is amazing. This is like tech support over the line for my crappy controls that I'm working on.
Oh, wait. Look at that. Okay, so if I grab the... I can drag it around.
All right. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you are joining the Space Game Junkie podcast, already in progress. We have with us this week Mike Tipple.
Tipple.
Tipple. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And we're going to talk about Enemy Starfighter, a game that I've been excited about for a long time.
And over there is Jim. I've been in a semi orgasmic state for the past 5 minutes since I discovered that you can hit the G key.
Of course, it's the magic G key.
Now, folks, usually we have a normal, like, welcome, blah, blah, blah. But when we started this call, Jim wanted to jump right into the game and ask Mike about it. So we're just going to go with it. Why not? Because it's funny, I think.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to puzzle this out, you know, for like an hour here. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. The manual is just really crappy, by the way.
Jeez.
No, oh, wait, there was no nice manual. That's
awesome. There are keyboard commands on the little website that you download the thing from. Didn't you RTFP?
Oh, my God. Reading is hard. Okay.
Oh,
wow. Dude, they like slide up and down the pole. This is like. This is like a stag party. All right.
Okay, so. Mike was nice enough to give us – is that an alpha? This is an alpha, right?
I would say it's even pre-alpha.
Pre-alpha. Mike was nice enough to give us a pre-alpha of the game. I'm rubbing my hands together. A couple of days ago. So I've toyed with it for about an hour so far, and Jim's toyed with it all of 10 minutes, including now.
Oh, no. I was playing it earlier, but I jumped in and I got killed and got killed and got killed, and I was like, this is awesome, and then I got killed. So the AI is not a bunch of pacifists, and I kind of like that. So.
Oh, no, they'll go in. They'll go for you, man. I like that.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. So –
yeah, and your guys are brutal too. So you should order them around if you ever get the chance to.
Yeah, Jim, D-pad down. That's right, Mike. Just tells them to go at it. Just go.
Yeah, that'll tell them to cover you. But if you hit D-pad up, they'll attack your target with impunity.
Oh, right. Cool.
I like cover me because it kind of gives them a little more leeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy watching them kind of go off and do their own thing.
So I'm gonna jump all my crap in like right on top one of these big red diamonds, right?
Go for it.
We want to see how this works.
So, folks, if you're unaware of what Enemy Starfighter is, Mike, would you like to explain it real quick, or shall I?
You go for it, and okay. Then we'll see how this goes.
Okay, we. imagine Homeworld, if you will, which I'm stealing that analogy from Jim, or in a more recent game, Flotilla. Because it kind of matches that same cel-shaded look, where you have a bunch of ships and you jump into an area to initiate combat. But instead of controlling the ships tactically from afar, you get to jump into a fighter and control your ships as well as be in the midst of the action. So what apparently is going on here is you're jumping into a system and you have a planning phase where you can kind of set up where your ships are going to jump in and what they're going to initially do. Like, I'm going to move here. I'm going to attack this ship, blah, blah, blah. And then you jump in, and then you're in the middle of it.
Hold on, I'm jumping in.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And you jump in, you're in the middle of it, and you take on you're the Empire or the enemy is the Empire?
You're the Empire. You're the bad guys.
You're taking on this enemy. We're the Empire. You're taking on an enemy force. And apparently this is a guerrilla war where you're jumping from system to system, and it sounds like you're disrupting shipping, you're destroying assets behind the lines.
Hey,
that
I died.
Sort of thing.
Just like that.
Oh, that was
nice.
Perfect. What?
That's how I roll. Man.
Come on, that was fast.
No,
I
put my guys like right on top of the enemy cap ships, right?
So and they shot you down because you put your eyes right on top of the enemy cap ship.
I jumped in and it was like face full of cap ship as soon as it – yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Derp a derp, dude.
My guys are tearing stuff up. That's great. Let's see if I die again. Oh, I see. Well, you don't want to get in the midst of the beam exchange between the cap ships.
No, you –
Oh, no. Yeah, don't stay in the middle of the gunfight like that.
Yeah, I was like, what are these cool glowing things on the front of BAM? Now that's
so pretty.
He's such a pretty guy. Oh, what's this clone thing? Why do I have to wait 20 seconds or whatever?
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty
crap. Yeah, no, I do like that. So it sounds like basically, yeah, like I was saying, your objective is to inhibit shipping, and it sounds like everything has a bounty, which I believe is Dread, I think is the name of the currency in the game.
Yep, that's called
and
Dread.
You were saying you use that in between missions to upgrade and such.
Yep. You could basically use Dread to upgrade your ships, buy new traits and stuff like that for your fleet, and then call in new capital ships that you can then place in the planning phase and then use.
Oh, I see. So The more enemies you kill, and the more dread you accumulate, you can call in you can purchase reinforcements, basically, and make your fleet big. Make your fleet bigger as you go.
So I have to say, these ships have some impressively large cannons hanging off of them. that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Right on.
This basically, I have a theory, right? And the theory I formed within like 2 seconds of firing this game up, and I was thinking, all right, Mike played some Homeworld. And Mike was severely disappointed that you couldn't actually jump in and fly the fighters in Homeworld. So, you know, and that of course is a thing that I had kind of wished for, because I really like the stylistic things that are, you know, the way the game looks and sounds and everything. And I'm playing this and I'm kind of like, this kind of looks and sounds a lot like if I had made a Starfighter game set in that, you know. So it's awesome.
right on.
Is that kind of what you had in mind?
It kind of evolved out of, I originally had everything be like normal TIE Fighter style, which is like super black in the background and then just white ships with white armor and stuff like that on them. And it didn't want it to, number one, nothing red. And then so I started like turning up the colors of the background. And of course, orange is like the best looking one because it looks like the suns and everything. And then I was like, hey, this looks kind of cool. And then I mean, it just kind of evolved into something like Rob Cunningham's style, but not only him, but like guys like Chris Foss and Peter Elson, like all those old classic sci-fi guys. Like if you look at all their old books, there's not like a single black sky or a black starfield in any of them. It's all this like crazy, like awesome red and green colors. So a lot of that came from that too.
Oh, hey, I died again.
I gotta give you props since you bring up those kind of older, covers. Your poster totally has that kind of look.
Thanks. That was done by a really talented illustrator called named Janae Beddoes, I'm sorry. And she was recommended to me by one of my friends. And when I talked to her, it was awesome because like she's like, so what are you thinking for this? I was like, well, like do like a sci-fi like novel or movie poster from like when we were growing up.
And yeah, like the late 70s, early 80s. It's exactly what this, to me at least, that's what this looks like.
Yeah, yep. I really like the first thing. I really like whenever you jump in, how there's kind of like that violent explosion as you like pop out a warp into space. So it's not like a real quiet thing, you know. It's got an actual like some tactile feel to it. Other thing, speaking of warping, is so I note this control here. That's your what is it? Gap drive, I think it was called.
Yep.
And so you have like an afterburner thing that you can do like a normal, like, you know, burn up fuel and go fast. But then with the gap drive, it's kind of like, hey, those guys are attacking my ship way over there, and I'd really like to get there in a hurry. So you hold down the gap drive and it charges, and you do kind of a micro warp right into their face.
Really? I didn't know. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Are you playing with a gamepad?
Yes.
It's the A key.
Oh, really?
So just target something and then hold down. And you can also steer it, too. So, like, if you want to come out, like, behind someone or in front of someone, just as you're charging it up, aim ahead of them or behind them, and then it'll kind of, like, put you in a more precise position.
Oh, nice. I gotta try that. But, yeah, I was just playing the game, like, 10 minutes ago. And, yeah, I found that interstellar jump thing by accident, which was nice. So I jumped to the second system. And kind of got my ass handed to me. That was
you probably jumped into a high security system.
The first system you jump to is zero, is like 0.8, which seems kind of similar to other games like Eve and such, which have a security rating, which I like. Mm-hmm. That makes it very easy to grok, basically. But then I jumped into like a system with a 0.9 just to see what would happen. And oh boy.
Yeah, sometimes you get unlucky on the random rolls too, because all that stuff is randomly generated off of like a seed phrase, and it's hard coded right now. Ah. But every time like you boot up the game and want to start a new map, you can basically do that whenever you want. But yeah, you mentioned Eve, and Eve is a huge influence. Like I was a terrible pirate in Eve, and basically I was the interceptor, so like I would fly in and tackle dudes, and then hope to God that my friends would get there in time before I died.
Yeah.
And then we're locking him down, and then so we have the guy locked down, and then basically, like, your heart's pounding because you know he's on the phone calling his friends, being like, there's a bunch of jerks in the system here with me, and they got me locked down. And you're just, and he's stalling for time and all this kind of like stuff's going on. And it was the only time that I ever felt like my heart was like super racing. You know how like you can hear your heartbeat when you're like in your head, when your adrenaline's going?
Yeah, and, of course.
And Eve doing that was like playing as a pirate, and Eve was made me do that. And that was kind of where a lot of this stuff came from. So that's why you're jumping in, beating guys up, and then getting out as fast as you can, because you are going to be outnumbered. Like you're not the main force. You're just there to basically roll out the red carpet for those dudes.
Oh,
right.
Cool. The big cap ships and stuff are, what's the organization here? Like, do I have a fleet that I take with me when I jump? Is that like that cap ship and my fighters that were with me whenever I jumped in?
Yep, those are like, so basically as you buy cap ships, they'll show up on that screen. And right now they just kind of like reset because I'm still working on the shop. And you'll be able to like say, okay, I want to spend this much dread either for an upgrade or buy a new ship. And then you can drop those guys into battle too.
Oh, cool. And of course it's dread because you're a pirate, right? So because
you're a bad guy, of course.
Like the more that people dread you. So it's like the dread space pirate Roberts.
Exactly.
Love it. So how do you not, like, how do you cripple a system? Because I saw, like, in, like, two or three systems I jumped in, there's usually a couple events, there's some enemies, like, either a destroyer and some fighters, and there are these transports usually going back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and then there are what look to be, like, jump nodes or something, like, wormholes or jump gates or something like that, that the transports are going back and forth through.
Right.
So with all that going on, what do you have to do to cripple a system? Do you destroy the shipping that's going through? Do you destroy the jump gate, which I couldn't do in this version, by the way? Do you take all the enemies? But they keep showing up. So how do you cripple a system?
So basically, like, you don't cripple the actual systems themselves. Basically, like you start off on a build with everything unlocked because it's still pre-alpha. But basically the idea is going to be you start off on one of those like leaf nodes, like in the on the edges of the solar system, which are really low security.
Right.
And then basically your job is to go through those node systems and hunt down the enemy homeworld until you find it and then glass it. And so basically none of that's going to be active from the get-go, but what you're going to be able to do is be able to capture those jump nodes. And then once you capture a jump node, you basically learn its coordinates, and then you can now select that area from the map.
Oh, I see. So if you select a jump node and then you go 10 systems in, since you've captured that node, you can jump back 10 systems directly to that.
Yep, it just unlocks a new area for you to go, pretty much.
And can the enemies recapture those jump nodes?
I don't have that in there right now, and I'm not sure if I'm going to or not. Like, did you ever play San Andreas with like the turf war mechanics and stuff like that going on in it?
Not really. No.
Okay, so basically it was really annoying because like you would be out trying to have fun and do all these other things, and then dudes would start trying to capture your turf.
Oh,
and you're
see.
Like, I gotta go back and do this again, and it got a little bit annoying. So I've been pretty leery about having.
That's totally fair. As I asked that, I thought that would kind of be a pain in the butt. Yeah, to go back. Now you said in the game these systems are going to be randomly generated.
Uh-huh.
Procedural generation. That's a big. Those are two big words for me.
Yeah, so this is the art style that's going on here. Are you, because I realize this is like super early alpha stuff now, but is it going to change significantly? Are you going to like apply detail textures and stuff, or are you going to leave the garage shaded, this look that's going on, right? Because I really like the look as it is too.
Yeah,
I mean, you could leave just clean and simple. And that would be
not
great.
Just that, but it keeps things moving real fast. Like it's a real smooth flowing engine.
Yep. I think I will leave it really close to how it is now.
Nice.
But clean it up, obviously. Like there's floating polys on some of my models and all these, like basically just polish it where it needs to be. Right. But for the most part, I think I'm going to leave it as is.
Oh,
now one thing I love about the game. Sorry, Jim, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just looking at like, with the cap ships when you buy them. I haven't – well, okay, since you're here and I'm still playing this thing, how do I get to where I buy things with Dread? Do I have to – because I'm sitting at the Activate clone. Can I actually shop from here, or do I have to actually be live in the world?
So the Dread stuff, the shop stuff, I'm still working on. So I had old versions of it in here, and then I ripped it out because I like it was a little bit too in depth. Like you could turn off like or like buy like turrets on capital ships and all this stuff, and then it just got a little bit crazy.
Oh, because that's where I was like, going. Right, I was going to say, stuff. Can I actually like Lego a ship together in there and say, oh, I want my cap ship, I want to upgrade the guns or something.
No, not right now. And just because I think it got a little bit too, number one, it got really hard to balance. It's like, imagine taking like a game like Nexus or like Homeworld and then being able to like say, oh, well, I want these guns on it now. And then all of a sudden you have this super ship that has like these crazy, either small guns or big guns. And then for me as a designer, like it becomes like almost like a really big mess.
Yeah,
to try to make sure that you have a good time.
No, that makes sense. I mean, if you're a guerrilla fleet fighting behind the lines, you're not going to have access to all this crap. You've got to be like, I need a missile cruiser. Send that in here.
Yeah, and then it gets jumped in for you.
Well, exactly. And it's really a bitch to try to surf Amazon and buy computer parts and stuff while you're flying and people are shooting at you, right? Like, I can see, like, Iceman and Maverick in the cockpit, like, oh, yeah, we got to buy some missiles. Hold on a minute, you know?
I got no signal out here. This totally sucks.
I gotta say, I love the audio in the game. The explosions feel great. The chatter is fantastic.
Too few games do the chatter, and yeah, that was another thing that was just like it came. You know, because that was the thing that I just love in Homeworld is that you hear all your ships chattering with each other.
Yeah,
and in here, it's like, are you hearing just your own ships, or do you actually can you tune in the enemy and hear them like bitching about you?
Right now, it's just your dudes.
That makes sense.
I kind of wanted to do like I don't know, like I wanted to do. You can also hear them, and they'll like yell at you and stuff like that. As like they're the last guy standing, like you know, like screw you, Empire, kind of thing. As like they're going down. But the other thing I was considering doing was, and you guys can tell me if this is weird or not, but having your dudes not even really speak English, like your dudes always sound like Boosh from Return of the Jedi or something like that. Like just because I think it makes you feel more. More evil empire.
No, you have a mix of it. You have like right now they're kind of muffled, but English. If you had like maybe one or two guys that spoke like something else, that'd be kind of cool. And then maybe if he spoke something else, you'd have a subtitle.
Well, what if it was like a translator? Your wingmen were actually different animals. Like you would have one that popped up and was a parrot, one was a frog, and they went beep 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 beep. Oh wait, no, that's already.
I tell you to do a barrel roll.
Yeah.
No, but I love how situational it is too. Like one of my cap ships got jammed with another cap ship. They were jamming the guns, and then when the cap ship got destroyed, it's like weapons. They said like weapons free now or something like that. I'm like, that's awesome. But I got to give you props on one particular sound. I was totally unprepared for this. The running out of ammo, you have no more ammo sound, is amazingly horrible. It's the sound you want when you're like. In a mix of, oh, fuck, that just happened, and oh, shit, you know? It's Jim, I don't know if you've gotten to there, but imagine, you know that horrible sound when you turn your key in your car and it's already running, that grinding? Yes. Imagine that times 100 and compressed, along with the sound of 1,000 people hitting trash cans at the same time.
So is
it's a terrible, terrible sound, and it's
amazing.
Are you
talking about the – Are you talking about the cannons on the ship runs out of ammo?
No. When you run out of ammo when you run out of ammo and you pull your trigger, it makes this terrible like grinding sound. Like you have Gatling guns.
Right.
And when you pull your trigger, they're spinning and they're making this grinding sound, but there's nothing in them.
So do the guns recharge? Because I haven't lived long enough to run out of ammo, so I don't know what you're talking about. But the
that's a testament to
the AI, right? So that gap drive thing? Can they do that to you as well? Is that just something super secret that I have?
That's something that you have right now. I'm kind of debating what to do about it. I definitely think the AI should understand how to use it, even if I turn it off later. So it's just such a special case thing that I'm going to have to like do some crazy like AI routines for it to be like, hey, when's a good time to actually do this?
Yeah, because otherwise the battlefield is very compressed because the guys that are way over there can just be in your face. You know,
exactly.
So unless it gives you a warning that somebody's triggered their gap drive, right, and it puts like a ring around,
like the
beep beep beep, here they come.
I kind of like the idea that as the apparent – they're called the Harbinger Fleet. Is that correct?
Yep.
I kind of like as the Harbinger Fleet, you kind of have this extra little push that the enemy might not have.
Or where you're special.
Yeah. I kind of like that. That's why you were sent back there in the first place. You have these like – you have this special equipment that makes you perfect for this job. You know, or something like
that. So what is the storyline again? The why are you an asshole in space killing everybody?
I try to stay super light on like what the actual story is, like just because I feel like I'm going to write a bad story because I'm bad at writing stories, and I generally don't care. But the general idea is you are basically either a space Viking or a space crusader, and space is filled with tens of thousands of like planets, and they're all kind of like bound together by this like trade federation, and the trade federation aren't super like Dudley Do-Rights. Like they're kind of assholes because if you're going to keep that many star systems in line, you kind of got to be. Yeah. So, but you're like on this like full on holy crusade where you either subjugate or burn planets, and that's kind of like what your gods want you to do. Like that's how you become a good little space guy for in terms of like your culture. And it sounds kind of it's very Warhammery, but at the same time, I want you to kind of think about it a little bit and just be like, I am kind of a jerk. Like at the end of it, and like I was even considering doing stuff like putting up a body count of like how many people have like died because of you, and then it's in like the billions, like the 25, you know what I mean, just some absurd number. Yeah. And then you're like, wow, I'm totally a jerk.
Well, you know what you need to do is I can't remember that guy's name. He was Mako in the Conan movies. He could be like, Conan, what is good in space? Crush your enemies, see their fleets driven before you, and the lamentation of the merchants. Yeah.
Something like that. That works.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me write this down.
Nice. So basically, I kind of like that you keep it vague, though, because then you're kind of making your own story. I mean, if the systems are randomly generated, and I'm guessing the universe is going to be randomly generated when you start, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the star systems actually – the star systems are based off the main star map, and all the gates actually point in the correct direction towards everything, kind of like how Eve does. But yeah, like, and I was even going to give you the option – I'm even considering giving you the option of like having like either you're working for the Emperor – or the Empress, and just because who you are isn't really important. Like you said earlier, like, you're like the Dread Pirate Roberts of space, and who you actually are is not necessarily important.
Well, what about?
So I'm gonna just keep it vague.
What about because is your technology and the technology of the enemies kind of a common origin? Like you're human, they're human. Humans all think alike. Because you could almost be like, we are the precursor of the alien invasion fleet in here to cause as much havoc as possible. And you don't necessarily have to be using the same technology that the other guys are.
That's true. Like, and the other thing too is I don't even have to show that. Like I was originally thinking that the dudes were like, everyone's kind of human. Cause I just worked on games where it's humans versus aliens for a while. And I was like, I kind of wanted to just keep it simple. And then, but yeah, like you're not even like, you ever see the Chronicles of Riddick movie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know how like messed up those dudes were with like genetic manipulation and all sorts of like crazy crap. So like your dudes are a lot like that. Like there is nothing off the table as far as like how messed up they are in order to like get their way and win. And then you're kind of like you could look like Darth Vader underneath your your cockpit suit or whatever, right? Like, and but yeah, like you are kind of alien and you're kind of bad, but you're kind of not. Like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of rambled.
Or you could
even
do like, well, it's kind of another trope, right? But you could be like the rogue AI. You like stole this cap ship. Although it's kind of interesting though, because your cap ship is not a carrier. It's sort of like a dreadnought or something, right?
Yep.
So it's an interesting choice to not have it be a carrier, though, because then you would have the option that you could dock with it and stuff. Or can you buy a carrier later and then you can like land and rearm and do those things?
I haven't really gotten that far yet, actually. Like, It's basically just those units that you see, and then I'm going to be adding more and more units as time goes on. So,
okay,
yeah,
so,
carrier would be really interesting.
So if I run out of missiles, how do I get them back? Do they just, like, respawn in the missile bay after a timer?
No. So basically, like, you're going to have to warp out, and limiting your ammo like that is kind of a way for me to also get you out of a system, because the reinforcements are turned off in that build, but I just redid them this morning, actually, and so they will keep showing up through the gates as you're in there, and then being like and start kicking your ass. So like keeping you low on ammo kind of keeps you, number one, like for your, especially for your torpedoes, which you can use to take out the subsystems, it kind of makes you just be like, you know what, I only have like 10 torpedoes, I'm going to use two on you, and then three on you, and then get the hell out, because then I'm out of torpedoes.
Oh yeah.
And I want you to enter and then leave the battle like every like 5 or 6 minutes or something.
Oh, okay. Is there like a safe place, or when you warp out, is that when you do your eBaying and like rearm and do that stuff?
Yes.
And then you land in another system. So it's not like,
yes,
you're constantly hot, like you know, you're combat to combat and no time to breathe.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. You go so, basically. Yeah. I just wanted to get a pacing like that. That's the other thing too, is like, I don't want you to feel super pressured to do anything other than fight when you're supposed to fight, and then give orders when you're supposed to give orders, which is also why it, like, pauses on the tactical map.
Okay. That's cool. How do you pull up the tactical map, by the way?
Hit. I think it's back or start in your build, probably both of them.
Oh, okay.
Or select or something.
It's guaranteed something on the controller, so at least, yeah. So, but it's just such a cool game. Like, dang. Oh, yeah, it's back. So it does pause when I do this then, which is good.
Yep.
Yeah, and I also love, I gotta say, the it's obvious you've been using a controller, because the gunplay just feels really solid, really just fluid and correct.
Yeah, and you also get a little bit of an auto aim there, which is nice, because you would think like the guns would be semi-articulated anyway. So it's not like space games of old where you have to have pixel perfect accuracy to. I'm looking at you, TIE Fighter.
Yeah. yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah. So when you get done with this, can you please do a TIE Fighter version? We would love we would name you George, and we would love you and hug you.
I would love to do a TIE Fighter version, but yeah.
That probably won't happen.
Well, you'd have like, to call it something else, like not TIE Fighter.
So let me ask. You're always going to be a small, like, fighter-class ship in this. You don't get to fly the cap ships, I'm guessing.
No, yeah, you're just kind of the interceptor.
Oh, okay, so you're always like an interceptor. Can you like be a bomber? Can you be a more of a heavy fighter? Can you change out what you're flying?
You're probably going to be in that same ship, but you're going to be able to upgrade that ship and choose your weapons and stuff. Like,
oh, okay.
Sometimes it might not be a torpedo like launcher that you take. Sometimes it might be like a jump inhibitor, so like you could bomb a gate with that, and then dudes can't come through the gates anymore for at least you know, 3 or 4 minutes, but you only get one or two of those in a mission. So you kind of have to like make sure you put it on the right thing. Like, I'm going to make this guy basically be able to fulfill as many roles as are cool.
Nice. No, I like the sound of that. I like.
So other thoughts here. So you come in with wingmen, right? Is that a thing where you have to buy wingmen? Like there was three of us at the beginning. There's none of us now because they died. But there's a lot of death in this game, and I like that.
There is a lot of death.
But
it's kind of almost a roguelike a little bit in that regard. A little bit.
Yeah, it's so I was thinking, like, can I buy ships that don't necessarily deploy at the beginning of the mission, where I can say, okay, this is my reserve. You know, like in TIE Fighter, whenever you kind of get a little bit too thick in it, and it's like, I need to call reinforcements, and you hit, like, Shift B, and it, like, some reinforcements would come in. But you'd lose points because so maybe, like, can I buy, like, a wing of fighters and have them hang in the back? And then if I need to call them to warp in, that way I can you know, like my bombers, right? I don't want to risk my bombers at the beginning of the mission because I want to get in there and
right,
get air superiority.
Especially when you're on the unit right away.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's kind of like I take down the cap screen and I open up the cap ship, knock his shields a little bit, and then while I'm doing that, I call the bombers kind of thing and point them. The other thing that I'm wondering is, could you give me the ability? Do you want to make it like a first person thing where I am the guy in this ship, or could you give me the ability to pause, you know, go to the pause map and say, okay, now I'm going to be in this fighter or whatever. You know, and that way I could have three different roles of ship and decide which one I'm going to be in at any particular time.
Okay, so your first question about the bombers and stuff, basically, like, I want to do things that are, like, situational like that, but have an entirely different way of calling them in. So, like, bombers are a really good example, like, where you could kind of, like, point at the capital ship and be like, I want bombers here right now. And then all of a sudden they'll do their chatter thing and spin up and then come out of warp, do their thing, and then get out. But hopefully you've taken out the guns on the capital ship and stuff so that you don't lose your bombers and all that kind of stuff. So, like, there will be some sort of situational, like, strikes that you can call in, and you'll spend dread on those things.
Okay, so that's kind of like in an RTS game, I want to pay for an orbital strike, right? And it's just exactly a thing that happens. Okay.
Awesome.
And then for your second question, which was, remind me.
That's a good question. What was my question? Oh, yeah. to be able to actually switch between which ship I'm controlling. Like, I can't be the cap ship, but let's say I have a mix of different fighters, you know, in my group. Because I would assume, when I buy different fighters, are they in homogenous groups? Like, my bombers will be in a wing of bombers and my interceptors will be in a wing of interceptors? Or can I mix and match what is in my flight group? And then if I can mix and match or have multiple fighter groups in flight, however that works out, can I actually jump between which seat I'm sitting in, or am I locked in the ship that I warped in?
You're kind of locked in the ship that you're warped in. I actually had that before where you could actually jump around between ship to ship, but that was before I had the gap drive, because I feel like the gap drive kind of solves most of the need that you have to, like, move around like that, since you could just do it anyway. You could just target one of your own dudes and be like, I'm over there with you now, or I need to go on these enemies back here. As far as, like, mixing groups, I'm going to probably keep the groups homogenous, just because it's easier to deal with, and all you would upgrade your groups at the same time. So, like, when one ship gets an upgrade, everyone in that group will get an upgrade too, like faster engines or you know, more shields, stuff like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice, I like it.
So
it sounds like, since you're on the offensive almost all the time, it doesn't really sound like there'll be any escort missions.
No.
Are there any missions where you have to shoot down incoming torpedoes, or better yet, missiles that go in and out of cloak? Thank you, Chris Roberts.
Jesus, Jim. Every week it seems like now with those damn whatever ghost torpedo
skipper
things.
Missiles.
Skipper missiles, yes.
Screw those skipper missiles, those bastards.
I actually did way back, I think like 6 months ago, I did a mission that was like that, those stupid missions where you're like defending against, you know, bombers that are coming in and all this other kind of thing, just because I wanted to learn, right? Like, I wanted to be like, why does this suck? Why does everyone hate this? And then,
I'm not alone
keep doing it. No. And so, yeah, I should actually send you guys that build. You get a kick out of it, because it's awful. Like, it is super, super awful, just like you'd expect. And I was like, you know what? No escort missions. And it's also different too, if you're the one making the calls, right? And if you're the one saying, like, look, I want to keep my battleship alive, I'm going to do what I need to do to keep it alive. And then if I lose the battleship, it's not game over. I don't have to restart the mission and go back 35 minutes. I'll just save up for another one and kind of, like, keep going.
Oh, that's a good point.
So all of a sudden, escort missions aren't, number one, really escort missions. And number two, they don't cause you to lose any progress.
Love it. Love it. So what kind of different – oh, sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, well, if you get killed, it says you can activate a clone, but you lose all your dread. So is that like your entire bankroll?
Yeah, so you pretty much have to, like, re-earn any kind of reputation that you have out there. And then it number one, encourages you to spend your dread as you get it. And number two, it was the only way that I felt like I could have some sort of consequence for dying without it being a complete, like, Alt F4, I'm shutting off this game, screw you, like, I'm done kind of moment.
Oh, you mean so it's not going to be like Diablo where, like, all your guns and equipment, like, just pops out and floats in space and you have to fly back over and tractor beam it up before. Asshole of a game. Like, seriously.
So wait a minute. There's no, like, overall bank where you bank your dread. You basically have it all in your frickin' pockets while you're flying around.
Yep. It's basically like your favor that you have with the, that was the other name that I had for the currency, which is favor with the emperor or the empress. And
I like dread better.
Dread better too. So I was like, oh, I'll just call it Dread. And like once that clone is done with, you have to kind of like re-earn everything, which is a little harsh, but.
But you get to keep all the stuff you've bought already.
Oh yeah, your ship's okay. your fleet's still slugging it out in there, okay. And you can jump back in and complete the mission.
So you just lose like the immediate progress of whatever you happen to have on you, not the overall progress of the fleet you've built and the ships you've upgraded and stuff like
exactly.
that. Exactly. I like it. I like it a lot.
So use it or lose it and fly it like you stole it.
Exactly. Oh my God, that's great.
So here's a thought about that though, because I said that wisecrack about Diablo, and then it made me think like, oh wait, no, there's something good you could do. So in Diablo, you know how like every now and then there's a monster that will spawn that's a hero, and he's got like a colored mm-hmm. name over his head, and he's a real pain in the ass. So
yep.
What about enemy like aces or something, and some guy that you see and he's like a different color on the HUD and like taunts you on.
Oh no,
it's
the enemy ace, Jean Valjean.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh crap, you know. So because it's like, you know that he's going to be an AI that's turned up to turbo, and
right,
you know, and he might have like better shields or something than the other guy, and he's going to come specifically for you.
Oh, he like calls you out in the middle of the battle, like draws
yeah, exactly.
a line in the sand, and is like you.
Yeah, because like it it's just like they randomly spawn, and when you see one, it's just like, uh oh, now the game's changed because I didn't know that was going to be here. You know, so and woe would be unto you if it's a cap ship, right? But but I'm thinking just like a fighter that's out there, and you know, so something that you would be a little bit.
It's like that episode. What was that episode of Battlestar Galactica where there was that one Cylon
Scar.
With the scar? Yeah.
The scar. It was called Scar. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Scar. Exactly. Yeah, it was like that. And like everyone's like, oh, God, Scar.
Okay. That's a really good idea. I definitely need to make sure that I make variants of that are like unique variants of ships to keep it interesting. Like, I totally. Right. Agree with you in that.
Well,
in that
you need a mechanism for calling it out, though. Like, look at that. You know, note that this thing is different and it's going to
yep.
like really be a problem for you or something. You know, that way it's just not like you notice like, oh wait, that guy was a little tougher to kill. You know, but it's yep. actually like beware, you know. Oh yeah, hey, you could have Sinistar. Did you play Sinistar?
No,
in the arcades?
No, like instead of like Tau 16, like his name will be purple and it'll actually be a name. And it'd be like, oh God! And like it'll specifically alert you when he jumps into the system. It's like, oh God!
Yeah. No, there was this old arcade game. Something it was like called that. Sinistar. Williams made
yeah.
it. And it was almost like playing asteroids, but you were mining the asteroids. And whenever you'd blow an asteroid up, there would be like diamonds that would come out. And then there would be a scramble for you to grab the diamonds before all the enemy fighters that were flying around would grab
gotcha.
Them. Because if they grabbed them, they'd take them to their base. And if they collected like 12 of them or whatever, every time they got one there, it would put a like a Lego brick in this face. And then whenever the face was fully formed, it was like a cyborg lion head. And then it was one of the first games that had really good speech in it. And it would be all like, beware, I live, I am Sinistar. And you knew you were fake, right? Because it's like, oh, shit, Sinistar's alive. And the game changed. At that point, it was just like, oh, my God, run from it. You know,
so, like
that's
it.
Awesome. I'm watching a video of it right now. This does look pretty awesome.
I vaguely remember that game.
They made a PC remake of it that was kind of weird, but the old arcade game.
Oh,
was
I
just
remember
old.
That.
Yeah, it's like I used to have that as my startup sound back on Windows 98. My boot my computer up and be beware I live. So
that's awesome.
So Mike, what kind of ships will you be able to purchase? Like, what kind of cap ships? Will there be like, because right now it looked like you have a battleship and a destroyer.
Yeah.
Will you be able to buy like frigates or interdictor ships or missile cruisers or that kind of fun stuff?
There's definitely going to be quite a few. Like one of them that I had prototyped a while ago that doesn't look good enough to be in any of the builds is a commando ship. So you can steal like. Fly it like you stole it will become a thing.
I was going to ask. That was like one of my next questions. If you could like steal ships, if you could like steal a cap ship.
Oh, that yep. would be awesome. And, like actually steal it. Yeah.
And so basically, like if you look at the subsystems on the carrier, all the bigger capital ships have like probably like three or four subsystems, but life support is one of them. And life support's always really hard to take out. But if your life support is down on a ship and you have Marines on there, they're going to cap it like twice as fast. But the other thing that life support does too is, like, as you take out subsystems on ships, if like you take out the engines or if you take out, you know, the railgun or whatever, it's going to repair like over time. Like you can do that right now. Like you run in there and it'll take like 2 or 3 minutes for the thing to come back online. But if life support's down, nothing else gets repaired until they can breathe again. So it's kind of a way to just completely put your boot on the capital ship's neck and be like, no, you know, you're staying here. You're not going anywhere. And then it comes down to, you know, fly it like you stole it, but you also don't want to scratch it before you steal it. So, it'll become this game of like doing the hard. Do you remember like in some of the better missions in TIE Fighter would have, oh, well, the transport needs to get on the ship and then you need to guard the transport and then it'll capture whatever. And you only ever really get like bonus points and stuff for it. And so, there are escort missions like that. But at the same time, it's not going to kill you.
Like if you lose the commando ship for whatever reason, you're like, crap, now I need to buy another one and try.
Right. Or I might just give you commando ships like from the get-go so you can always do that. Like I'm still working through all that stuff. But as far as other ships, like you saw there, did you guys see the ECM ship that's in there?
I don't think so, not yet.
So he's the guy that jams the other ones.
Oh, I did see that. He shoots like the green ring at Okay, I did see that. All right, yeah.
So there'll be like all sorts of E-War stuff like that. And then I also have the obligatory like ion frigates and stuff like that too. I just haven't written the projectile code for the actual ion beams yet.
Oh my God.
But yeah, like it's basically going to be whatever I can add to it and
that's cool.
Make it feel cool.
So it sounds like you're basically you're setting the set pieces in motion to tell this amazing space story that you're the center of.
Yep. And then you can tell your friends about it too. Cause like you and Jim could have the same like seed phrase in the setup and then be like, oh, okay. Like, did you know if you went, you know, to Bishop's Drift instead of that one way from like out the other gate in that system, like you'll end up, you know, seeing one of those special ships or there, you know, you can go to the homeworld faster this way. Like you guys will have a shared experience.
Ooh, I like that. But this is single player only, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's single player only.
Thank you.
Thank it's you funny because
very much.
People only have like super strong opinions either way. It's never like, oh, okay, whatever. It's always like either thank you or no, you totally need to put multiplayer in this.
I mean, I'd rather it either be one or the other because so many games half-ass it. Like either the single player is a big tutorial for the multiplayer or the multiplayer was an afterthought after they did the single player.
Right.
Like, you know, just focus on one or the other. And don't dick me around. Basically, that's how I feel about it.
Right on.
So I appreciate this is a single player only game. Thank you for that. Let me just say this, Jim. I like that. Like we'll be able to put it in the same seed, and like Jim and I will be able to start from the same like system, and just have our own story to tell in the same. That's great. Sorry, go ahead, Jim. I just wanted to say.
Oh, I was just wondering. How do I actually get to that menu where I'm warping ships in and out and stuff? You know, where, because Brian found that key where you get.
Oh, it's J.
J. Oh, okay.
Are you in battle right now?
I'm actually at the beginning and I'm placing where my guys are going to jump in and stuff. But I was thinking as soon as I jump in, I want to hit this one ship and then get the heck out. And because I don't want to deal with the whole system full of stuff.
Yep. So J will just call a retreat order.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, because I just want to warp in on top of this guy and give him a bad day.
And beat him up before his friends get there.
Yeah. So what's this other ship? Like, my main ship is the Starfall Inquisition. That's a battleship. And then this other guy is a destroyer. So you were saying these are the only two cap ships that I have available at this time, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, in that build.
All right. And if my battleship or my destroyer gets whacked, then I would, in the full game, then I have to repurchase it, obviously, right?
Yep.
So, better have a lot of dread stored up if you let your cap ships die.
And nothing to spend it on in that build, which is awesome.
Well, but that's the thing, too. Like, it has to have its jump engine's working, or I can't leave, right? Or if like there's an interdictor that's scrambling the warp, then I can't leave. But yeah, normally you can warp out from anywhere, right? I don't have to like make it to the jump point or the Stargate or anything.
No, your guys are super like your guys are so good that you can jump in and out wherever you need to.
Okay, which is a good thing.
That's why we're the Harbinger fleet.
Yeah. Right. So I see that, you know, is the AI restricted to they're going to enter the system through specific points that you're pre-aware of?
Will be those jump gates.
Okay.
That you see there. And that's actually what I got working this morning. So basically, like, you're getting, like, stars, like in GTA, as you're in there in the system. And then it's like, oh, my God, like, their battle net's lighting up. Here come the first response fleets, like the super light guys, like a group of destroyers jumps in, and then like you give it a couple more minutes, and then they bring in friends with like ECM ships, and then all of a sudden, like by 3 or 4 minutes, it's like carriers are jumping in, and
I
gotta get out of here.
I would have a very visible counter about that, like a countdown till like next reinforcements in, tick 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 tick, you know.
So, no, I totally agree. I'm going to put that on the planning phase. So, like, you'll be able to see at, you know, their response time is 2 minutes and 30 seconds plus or minus, like, 15 seconds.
Mm.
But you'll be able to be like, oh, my God, I have 2.5 minutes to get in and get out before I start getting wrecked. And then, at least then you know, right? Like, and then also do some sort of visible thing in the cockpit when you're there, either through VO or through some, like, HUD element like that.
Yeah, I think in the Wing Commander games where they would have a video pop up as well as the dialogue, but that would kind of draw your eye over to, hey, somebody's talking to me, right? I need to listen.
Right.
And then it could just be like your ship calling you, like, we've got signature at the warp gate and it looks really big, you know, something like that, you know,
right.
So... Yeah, so it would be like, you know, 5 incoming fighters, 2 destroyers, you know, and, oh my God, what's that? And, you know, the Death
time
Star
to leave.
Comes in or whatever, yes, you know, whatever
to,
5 stars buys you. But yeah, that would definitely be a thing of like, like Brian was saying, it's like, oh, it's time to go, you know, or whatever. So you get that thrill of like, I have X number of seconds to try to get that last torpedo shot in. And then it takes how long to spool up the warp drives. So, you know, because if you give it time, like, can I hit J and I just immediately warp out? Or is there a time delay based on, like, the battleship? So the battleship's got to heat up, right, before it can go.
Right. It'll send you out first. Basically, it just issues the entire, like, fleet order. I definitely want to do something where that was, like, the first thing that I noticed because I jumped out, right? And then, like, I'm looking at the map and I'm like, watching my battleship, like, try to leave. And then all of a sudden, the enemy fighters are like, hey, we just took out its engine. Sweet. And then it's just sitting there, like, dead in the water. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do anything to help you anymore. So I need to find some way to, like, nicely let you say, you're out, you're staying in with me, and
I think the rule, everyone
else to leave.
The easy rule on that is first in, last out, because you're the commander, right?
First in, last. No, you're right. Yeah, so it'll just do it once there's no more ships other than you and your wingmen.
Right. It's like you cannot leave until, or there, maybe there's, like, a key to override that, like, get me the hell out of here, I don't care about them, you know, or
like,
whatever.
Yeah, you hold down J or something like that.
I got a pocket
full
of dread, and I can't lose it. Let's go.
Right.
But I think you also, like you were saying, should be able to order other ships out if they're severely damaged but can still leave.
Yeah.
Either that or, like,
set just hanging there.
Either that or set a standing order, like, if your hull gets to 40%, get out, you know, something right. like that. And I'll just leave. Just go.
Yeah, get out of here. I don't want to see you. Just don't die.
Just don't die. Just go. Just run.
Right.
You said you'd be able to – oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. Go for it.
No, you said you'll be able to put a thing on one of the jump gates to prevent enemy ships from jumping in, I believe you said. Will you be able to do other things, like maybe mine a jump gate or put turrets around it so it'll attack any enemy that comes through, stuff like that?
I definitely want to do stuff like that. I haven't worked out how I'm going to do all that stuff yet. But yeah, mines were definitely one of those things. Did you ever read the Lost Fleet series?
I've read the first two of them. They're awesome. They're great.
But yeah, like that scene where they're like, there's a scene at the end for anyone that doesn't know that he basically does what Brian's talking about, which is to lay down mines and then people come through it and then just get destroyed and it looks awesome. And
yeah,
and, like, yeah, that I definitely want to make sure that you feel clever and can do those kind of clever things to the dudes and kind of like leave traps and stuff for them.
And they'd be great because you're trying to leave this trap while the timer's ticking down. Like, oh my God, I have a minute to fly the hell over there, drop these mines and bug out before they.
Right. Or you have like a mine ship. You're like, oh my God, just get there and do it.
Just go. Just move. Come on. Yeah, exactly. this sounds, I got to tell you, man, the more we talk about this, the more excited I get, even though I've played this pre-alpha. It's just.
Well, you know what else? Exciting. What else would be very cool in here is if there's like a resource thing. Of I don't know if you want to go down this road or not, but I could see like if you buy a mining ship and you go into a system that's got rocks, right? And it's like, yeah. Okay, I can defend that mining ship. He's going to put his miners out, and we're going to fight this battle, and I just have to keep the enemy off of him long enough to mine enough. You know, like what can I get to steal out of this asteroid field and get the hell out of here?
That just like sounds ninja like mining for me.
Yeah, mining for, exactly.
Yeah, mining for dread. It sounds like that would give you another, because it sounds like this game already has a multitude of choices on how to the risk reward balance thing going, and that sounds like another awesome choice you could make.
I think we've extended the dev cycle at least a year.
I know. Here we go. Just from this.
I don't mind that at all. I'd rather it be done right than done fast.
That's true. Well, how about what if I put mining ships in the traffic, and then you could go steal the mining ships from the traffic? So like they're on their way. They're like, sweet, we got a belly full of ore and we're going somewhere.
I like that.
And then you could just jump in and be like, know what? I need to take you back because you're going to give me a bunch
of. You know what else you should also do? You should also have transports with missiles or transports with fighters or transports with whatever. And whatever you steal, whatever you steal, you get to keep.
Gotcha. Like,
oh, we have 40 more missiles to play around with or whatever.
You know what would be a real space asshole thing to do is go steal a transport, steal its cargo, load it up full of explosives, and then give it orders to go ram a cap ship. Like you could build suicide bombs.
That sounds like a whole different rabbit hole, Jim. And this game is trying to jump down, but that sounds. No, awesome.
I mean it's you just weaponize a transport ship. Like I stole it. What am I going to do with it? Make a bomb out of it. Next time when we warp in, I just give it a waypoint, like, hit that guy.
What about the crew of that transport?
Are we
talking suicide bombers here?
Sing songs of their glory over a Vulcan ale or Ramen ale. Yeah, whatever.
That would take the whole terrorist thing to another level.
No, you just put it on autopilot. Yeah. And then that way they're autopilot. They're kind of dumb, right? They're not really doing anything. They just beeline right for the enemy. And then, see, that puts the enemy in the position of having to shoot down the incoming bomb. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you're going to be a space asshole, what's the most asshole thing you can do? You can make them chase bombs. Because everything that we hate doing, you just inflict on them. And you get skip missiles and everything.
Oh my God.
That'll be amazing. Oh my God. Like, yeah, you're every bad mission design in the world, except you're doing it to AI.
We'll do an escort. We'll make them do an escort mission.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you get a taunt button that just says suffer, you know?
Oh my God! So not to add anything else to your dev cycle, but this is a pre-alpha, so yes. I'm guessing you have at least a year.
Things are coming together pretty fast right now, so I'm going to try to get it out early next year.
Oh wow!
Is my goal because now I mean now that I have like this working like sandbox full of things where I can like and build ships and add turrets to it. Like that was actually a really hard cause I'm not a programmer by trade and like figuring all that stuff out and learning how to do it was a huge.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You said you'd worked on other games where it was humans against aliens or something. What else have you worked on?
I worked on Halo Reach and I worked on, I used to work at Pandemic Studios too.
Oh, okay.
So, and I did the space mission in Halo Reach. I mean, it wasn't just me, obviously, but like that was one of my missions that I ended up shipping. And so, yeah, I have a little practice at doing the space stuff.
Nice.
Oh, very cool. Did you work on Secret of Vulcan Fury?
Secret of Vulcan Fury.
I just have to ask that, like after the last time, because
oh my God.
Did you hear that show? Because I asked the guy. It was Tom. I can't remember his last name that we were talking to. The guy that did Artemis, the bridge simulator. And he was like, oh yeah, something about being a big Star Trek nerd. And I'm like, you're probably the guy that knows where the secret of Vulcan Fury voice tapes are, right? And he's like, actually, I was the lead dev on that game. And it was just like, you heard Jaws hit the desk.
And oh my God.
And the whole podcast changed. It was like, we don't care about the game you're making. Let's talk about that.
And oh no.
It was pretty amazing. So since you want to get it out early next year, got to ask the tough question, kickstarting or kind of alpha funding?
If anything, it'll probably be like early alpha access.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, good. I don't see. Are you targeting Steam?
I could totally see that, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be PC, like any kind of distribution service that I can put it on PC, whether it's Steam or Desura or the Humble Bundle, like things. Basically, I'm going to try to get on all those.
Nice.
But yeah, I feel like Kickstarter is kind of
there. I think it's
a lot of work to do a Kickstarter.
There is. It's almost a full time gig in and of itself. But I think there's also a little bit of fatigue right now.
I think you're right
in terms of Kickstartering.
Yep, where everyone's just kind of like, oh my God, there's another one.
And yeah, I think there is a little bit of that. So, yeah. But people seem to love to throw money at alphas. I know I do. I've got how many alphas paid for out there?
I want to throw the money nice at thing this about that right is now.
Yeah, like, how can I throw my money at you?
Can I send you a beer?
No, not
that's
yet.
What we need. We need a service where you can buy somebody a beer across the internet.
That's amazing.
Can't you just like Amazon it? I mean, you can't just buy beer on Amazon?
Well, it's not the same. It would have to be like some kind of a voucher, right? Where it's like I've got a card.
Are you talking about a service where someone like brings a keg and serves it to you, type of thing?
Oh yeah, you can do that too. Dancing girls. No, that's a little bit beyond the scope. It's like, honey, what's going on? I don't know. They're installing a brass pole in the living room. Who are these people? Where are they from? They're from the internet. They said it's cool. I don't know. But one other feature that I wanted to request from you on this, because this is easy peasy.
Okay.
We were talking about being a pirate and just being a space douche, right? So I think in the concept of Dread, I think that there should be a taunt button, okay, that I can target an enemy fighter and I taunt him and I get bonus Dread if I taunt them before I kill them.
Gotcha.
See, I gotta tell you guys, every time I'm hearing this word Dread, I'm thinking of the Carl Urban movie, and I think he should.
Like whenever you warp, it goes into slow motion and it plays Justin Bieber slowed down like 800 times because that's what they did for the sound
that's
effect.
What that actually,
the Carl
I,
Urban
I can't
Dread.
Believe that's what that actually is. I can't believe God. That's what that is.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah, yeah
really.
It's really,
yeah, that's really what it is.
Oh no.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when Jim told me. I was like, no, it's not. Oh, my God, it is. Oh, my God.
Or you could have, like, the SS Miley Cyrus and call it Star Twerk. I don't know. It's like.
No, you should have voice commands where you, like, tell your ship, hot shot, and then you shoot incendiary rounds or whatever that was.
Whatever that weapon is, the lawgiver or whatever.
Yeah, the lawgiver. Yeah, the gun that I want one of those so bad. That's the awesomest gun.
I like the Warbot from the original Dread movie. I think that was like the coolest thing in that film was that ABC Warbot.
Oh,
unfortunately,
the thing that was in the shop that they powered up.
Yeah,
I
that rusty old combat robot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like, so vaguely remember that movie.
It was like, I used to like C-3PO till I met this guy, and now...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, every time I'm hearing Dread, I'm thinking of Carl Urban in a helmet. He's flying one of the fighters. I am not.
With that sneer on his face.
That'd be funny. You should, like, model one of the tough AIs after him. I am the law. Yeah.
Gotcha. I'll put that on the list.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like the combat aces. If you put the aces in, then that could be like the names of your big Kickstarter backers or something. Would be they get to name. It couldn't be their real name, but they'd get to like name the hero, the heroes that you fight
the
or something.
Guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like going back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. It sounds like you're pretty much going to be able to fly one customizable ship.
Yep. And then, yeah, I'm just trying to keep it like.
No, I like that.
Under because, control.
Because sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. But I think in this it's going to work because it lets you feel more connected to your ship. Like, this is my baby, you know?
So I can't, yeah, and you're supposed to be in the most badass ship anyway. Like, when you get dropped in, it's not like – it's like this – no, everyone wants to fly what you're flying anyway.
Oh.
It's kind of like always having a TIE Advanced and being like – every like, this is your ship for out, throughout the entire game. Because whenever I played TIE Fighter, I always wanted to just fly the TIE Advanced no matter what.
The Advance or the Defender?
Which one was the one that was super fast? It was like – is either that or the one that was like the A-Wing? Because I loved it when it was super fast, still had missiles, and had decent – like it only had a couple turrets on it but was still pretty good.
Ooh,
is that the Advanced?
I think that's – yeah, probably the Advanced or maybe the Interceptor.
Well, yeah, because gotcha. there was the TIE Defender. The Defender was like the Uber ship though.
That was the win button, basically.
Yeah, which totally yeah. Gotcha. Was. But yeah, the Advanced was like a step down from that.
Yeah.
Which it was like it was the TIE fighter equivalent of an X-Wing.
Yeah, it was Darth Vader's fighter in
gotcha.
In Star Wars.
Yep.
So,
yeah, so that was a good fun. Time. And you know, the more that you talk about TIE fighter, the more that we like you. Because we know that you're from good roots. Like your parents did a good job. They raised you right.
A little aside, I saw I forget what side it was on. I saw like the 10 best Star Wars games today. It was a list.
And TIE Fighter and X-Wing on it.
Weren't even on there.
What?
They weren't. Yeah,
no
I cry shenanigans.
Was
I
that
totally
like on
cry shenanigans
or something like?
Oh no, it was Dorkly or some shit like that. Like,
why has the internet turned into a bunch of top 10 lists? It's like this is the easiest thing to write, and it's got built-in page views because
it works
we're going to get 10 page views. Well, that's the thing. We're going to get 10 guaranteed ad impressions because we're going to make you click next 10 times to see what the number one thing is.
Okay, so. you know why you can tell that? Okay, I found the list. It is on Dorkly. You know how you can tell this list is, to use a parlance, bullshit? Knights of the Old Republic 2 is number 4 on the list. No.
Yeah, it clearly should be number 1.
And Battlefront 1 and 2 are at number 2 on the list. No! No!
I will admit that I have a certain level of excitement for Battlefront
well, yes.
3.
Well, yes. I mean, who wouldn't? That looks awesome. They put Knights of the Old Republic as number 1, which, okay, I can kind of see. That was really an amazing game. But, yeah, like, they have Rogue Squadron 2 on here. And
oh, my God.
And what Republic Commando was pretty good. They have The Force Unleashed on here as
Dude,
number 5.
Icky, icky.
Yeah, yeah. Big shenanigans.
So basically, it's like the top 10 Star Wars games of the last couple years that we can remember.
Right.
Yeah, this list is bullshit.
Written by people who are too young to remember good games.
Yeah, written by Mr. Andrew Bridgman on Dorkly. I don't even know why I have Dorkly in my RSS reader, but I do for some reason.
You can correct that.
Oh, here we go. You know how you know this site is full of douches? They have Axe body, they have Axe deodorant as their advertisement.
Oh, wow. Hey, you could do that though. You, in order to get advertising for your game, you could hang like billboards in space like Eve does. But actually put real ads on them.
I'm sure everyone would love that.
Or just like right on the side of the ship, you know, like Pennzoil.
Or, no, I was gonna say
like
have
NASCAR
sponsor, have,
in
yeah, have the Aces be sponsored and like have
and know, just have like, tons of like, icons and logos on them and yeah.
Before they shoot you down, before I shoot down an enemy, I like a refreshing glass of Mountain Dew. Gulp, gulp. Now I'm gonna kill you. Bang, bang. Yeah,
hey,
you know?
Hey, I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew and I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey. Did you ever see that movie? No, Ricky Bobby. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, what about
they put the.
What about actually kill markers on the side of your cap ship? Like it just spray paints, you know, little skull and bones on the side for like every other cap ship.
Like a little chalk scratch, like
exactly.
Hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of the side of your ship, is there going to be an external view at all on this thing? I couldn't find one.
I don't have an external view in there other than debug stuff right now. I'm not sure if there will be or not.
Okay.
Is that something you guys really, really
No, it's not necessary, but so many space games have it. I mean, it's good for screenshots, and like getting a little lay of the land. But it isn't necessary. It really isn't. I mean, what's more important is being able to look around your cockpit. That's more important. And hey, and have good situational awareness.
Speaking of looking around your cockpit, Oculus Rift, because I saw that you have a
demo yes.
for Oculus Rift, and in space nobody can hear you puke. So
I take it neither of you guys have one.
No, but I've heard that people get a little disoriented in it, and it could be like an excellent. I would never be so happy to barf as playing this game with an Oculus Rift.
Gotcha. It's actually not that bad in games where your character is sitting down, like racing games or like even mech games and space sims like this. Like it's where it gets weird is like you're playing a character that's standing up and moving around, like Half-Life or like Team Fortress is even a little bit weird. Like there's just some sort of disconnect that goes on. And it's funny because I use my wife as a guinea pig. I'm like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, you know, wheeling while she has it on her head. I'm like quietly wheeling over the garbage can in case she's going to throw up. And I'm like, so how does it feel? Like, and she'll try it with like the default demos where it's the first person shooter walking around the little house. And she's like 10 seconds. Like, seriously, she's like, this is it. I'm going to get sick. And but you put her in the like a cockpit and it's fine. Like for some reason, everyone just seems to do okay. Like, and when we did like those 100 people or whatever that played it at PAX, like very few had problems whatsoever with it, which is really surprising to me.
Yeah. Cause I have a friend that we used to play like hardcore gamers, you know, from birth. Uh-huh. Right. And we've played everything and he never had a problem with any kind of motion sickness or whatever in games. But he's on some kind of medication for a condition that he's got, and
gotcha.
It has like completely rewired his brain to be like even playing an MMO like Warcraft where it's third person, anything that's 3D like that that's got depth, he's like 10 minutes is about the most he can handle.
Oh no, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
So he's like playing Baldur's Gate and old 2D games now. So I feel so bad for him.
Gotcha.
But
that's terrible.
But yeah, so the Oculus. Let's hear a little bit about your development stuff with that. Like, what was the learning curve of it? Is it very clear cut to program for?
Because I use Unity, it's actually pretty easy. Like their SDK is pretty good. The only weird part is just like learning kind of like what the machine is doing underneath everything. Where it's like you're like, oh my god, why the hell do I have two cameras on everything? And then you're like, oh well, I have a camera for each eye, and the game has to render twice, and you need to make sure that you set up the cameras correctly on all your old cameras, or you either swap them out or find some way to turn them on and turn them off. And it was actually not bad. Like Unity lets you just kind of drop it in, and then you say like, "Look, these are my Oculus Rift cameras for like sitting in the cockpit," and it handles mostly like everything for you. And then basically, like you will also get like an orientation from the headset, like mm-hmm. up, down, left, right. And then you take that vector and then you apply it as an additive rotation onto like whatever is in the cockpit. And it seems to work okay. It only took like two and a half weeks to get the Oculus Rift integration going for PAX. It was pretty fast.
Hey, so on your ship, are the guns always going to be forward mounted, you know, like the cannons out the front, or could you buy a turret that would actually track where you're looking? Because
you could kind of like,
yeah, you aim. It's just like put a cursor that floats where your eyes are, and you could turn your head in the cockpit and actually track somebody with the turret.
Gotcha. How would that work when you're not using the Rift?
If you just lock them, I guess it would auto track.
It would auto do it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But that would be kind of.
Did you ever play X3? I think they had turrets that did that, like on all
they
your
do.
Fighters
yeah,
and stuff.
They do. On larger fighters and larger ships, if you had turrets, you could actually tell the turret attack any nearby enemy or attack your target or whatever. It was kind of that's like one of the few things I like about the X games.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it sounds really similar. Like I hadn't thought about it. It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well, what made me think about it is, you know, we were talking about Oculus Rift and looking around, and then you said about the two cameras, right? And you know, there's one for each eye. And what I thought about, because when I was in the military, I was a crew chief on Apaches, and whenever you're in an Apache, did you ever see that crappy Nicolas Cage movie, Wings of the Apache or Firebirds, it was called when it was.
Oh, God.
Is that the one where he had to, like, train his eye, like his dominant eye or whatever, to, like.
Firebirds or whatever the hell that was?
Uh-huh. So, funny thing is, I'm in the background in some of the scenes in that movie because we were in that hangar.
What?
Yeah, they used our helicopters from. I was in First and 24th Aviation. And
did you get to meet Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, briefly. I got to meet Sean Young, though. That was a good
thing.
She was very, very nice. Yeah, so I got backstory for that, but I'll tell that another time. But the thing that's true about that is you put that monocle up over your eye, and, you know, of course, the guns track where you look and stuff. But that eye dominance thing is very real. And it's a thing of, like, you have the heads-up display instead of being projected up on the cockpit in a, you know, piece of glass in front of you. It's in front of your eye, only one eye. And it made me wonder about, well, the Oculus Rift, you have two different screens, and you could totally do that in a flight sim or whatever, just, like, superimpose the HUD over one eye. Of course, you're going to give people that.
I actually tried that when I was first doing the Oculus Rift HUD, because I couldn't get it working in the second camera initially. I was like, and then I was like, wait a minute, like, this is kind of how it should be almost, like, because I was thinking about, like you're saying, like the helicopter pilots and stuff like that. It's still really disorienting, I mean, to me when I was doing it. Maybe I was doing it on the wrong eye, but yeah, that's really crazy. Like is it fully projected out into infinity?
Yeah, well, I mean,
what would happen?
It's just like over your eye, right? There's a piece of glass and it's got a screen projected up on it, so you'd look through it. But it's just like, it's like wearing glasses, but one of your glasses has a transparent CRT monitor on it, except this is actually like a reflected thing into a glass, but, you know, it's a little lower tech than that.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you could get over the eye dominance thing by just having a key that flips which eye it's in.
Yep.
So, hey, speaking of keys that flip things, is there a way to invert the controls? Cause I'm using the Xbox pad. It was what?
Yeah, hit Y and then it'll invert,
Oh, okay, so I can do it, because I was looking in the configurator before I launched, and I didn't see an option for actually inverting the axis or anything. You know, it's like I can choose
everything's
the axis,
just on hotkeys. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. Just as long as I know where it's at, right? So.
Yeah, I think we're both probably going to be toying with this for a little while to come.
Right on.
I'll make sure I love it whenever you warp in and then your ships warp in with you and immediately start bombing the hell out of the enemy, and yeah, this is great.
It's a really nice feeling.
I have not had this feel of time with a space game in a while. So
really, Jim?
Yeah.
What was the last one? Do tell.
Good time. Free Space. Like the last.
Oh no.
No, I don't mean like back in 2000. But
I know, I know. But wow, that's actually, it's very high praise though. Free Space 2 is still. One of the is the pinnacle of the genre.
Yeah,
still.
Is there a key that I can hit that lets me turn my head in the cockpit, or is that an Oculus only kind of thing?
If you're playing with mouse and keyboard, you can hold down Alt and then you can use the mouse to look around. But right now, there's no way to configure your controls.
Oh, interesting.
So everything's on.
But if I hit Alt, it's just tracking where the mouse is. I see.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to do a padlock view. Someone suggested that to me, and I'm going to add that on the default control scheme. Like, I'm going to make sure that everything is configurable and make sure you can rebind your keys if you want to.
Nice.
Because at least it's PC. You need to be able to do that. And who knows what you're going to be playing the game with, like what kind of controller. Right. People were like, I want to use my Steel Battalion controller. And I'm like, oh, my God.
What?
How does the targeting work? Like, how do I know who's the last guy that shot me or whatever? Because I'm looking at the radar. The radar is really nice, too, by the way. I can tell you played some TIE Fighter, right? But you did it actually better than TIE Fighter, I think, because there's kind of some status to these guys. But as far as target selection, does it just pick the next logical guy to go after? Or, you know, I know I can hit Y and it's picking another target, but I don't know how it's selecting that. Is that like last guy that shot at me or?
It is the TIE fighter, like closest fighter.
Oh, okay.
And then the other button, like hitting X will target whatever's under your crosshair.
Mm.
Okay.
Maybe you can have it so, like, if you hold down Y, it'll target whoever just shot at you last.
Like, I definitely know that because I have those little indicators on the sides of the screen. Like, you'll see your because remember in TIE Fighter, it was like you would see a little blip that's like oh yeah, I guess I'm getting attacked, which is just like under the crosshair, and that was it was like this tiny 2 pixel thing. So whenever you see attack flash at the top of your screen, and then I also make sure a sound plays.
Yes,
you'll also see little flashing attack markers over anyone that's coming after you too.
Oh,
so like at least you know what direction sort of that they're coming from. But doing a button that says, hey, target my last attacker is actually a really good idea. Write that one down, actually.
So I see that attack thing blinking up over me, right? Above the center of the screen. But I can't really spot who is doing the attacking. Like, is it? Do they turn into a triangle on the HUD? Because there's one thing that's a triangle here.
The triangles are fighters, and then the guys that are attacking you will turn yellow on the HUD. And then if you look on the sides of the screen, where all the icons kind of collect when they're off screen, you'll see attack flashing there in yellow, or you should at least.
Don't you wish you could have had Larry Holland like sit there and talk to you on Skype while you were playing TIE Fighter and just be like, what key is this, Larry? Yeah.
I wish I had him around when I was making this.
I contacted his company. I tried getting him on the podcast. I still haven't heard anything.
Are they still at what was their company called? It was like
Totally Games.
Totally Games. That's right.
They're still around. Last thing they did, I think, was a bull riding simulator. I'm not making that up.
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know,
like, come
funny,
on, just what, make TIE Fighter 2.
What was funny when we were talking to Thomas about the bridge simulator Artemis. One of the games in his pedigree was like Barbie fashion designer or some crap. And it was like, how the hell do you go from Secret of Vulcan Fury to Barbie fashion designer?
That's just how the industry is. Like,
gotta pay the bills, man.
Pretty much. Like I one of the games on my credits is a game called Rebel Trucker. And it's like, it's driving trucks through it's like, I mean, everyone has those kind of games where you're just kind of like, oh yeah, what's the deal with that one?
Getting paid.
On your resume. Yeah, pretty much.
So, wow, this continues to be great. I've been playing this the whole time we've been talking.
I can hear it. Do you have your speakers on? Because I can hear you playing.
Yes. I do have my speakers on. I want the audience.
Yeah, the sound effects. The sound effects are actually, besides that terrible, awful, wonderful, you're out of ammo, oh shit sound, which I love. It's terrible and I love it. The sound effects are actually really nice. Like, how much work have you been putting into the audio? Because it really does have it sets up just this presence around you. You know, it just sets up this audible presence all around you where you can just feel the universe thudding and hitting things. And it just sounds great.
Thanks. It's work to like process those things and make sure that everything sits on like a good frequency, because it's really easy to make it get all like sound all muddy. And I think it even does sound all muddy, like too much. But yeah, like when I was doing this, like I've always been of the mind that sound and good sound will elevate like whatever you're looking at. Like, did you ever play the old Looking Glass games?
Of course.
Like those games had some of the best fucking sound that I've ever heard.
Like Terra Nova. Oh my God.
Yep. Or System Shock. Oh, like those games. And it was like, and then you look at the game and you're like, this looks like was made in 1998, but like the sound design still freaks me out whenever I play these games.
Oh, totally.
And so I wanted to make sure that I did it right, but I also didn't want it to sound like every other kind of like space sim, which is fine, like with like the big sounding weapons and stuff. It, to me, it's much cooler if like you feel like you're in a coffin, like flying around in space.
Yeah, it kind of has that muffled, I'm surrounded by vacuum style sound to it, which I like. I gotta say, I really like, because like we were saying earlier, the chatter is great, but the sound the guns make, and if you're close enough when you hear them hit, which sound in space, get over it, people.
Who was the one of the first guys that we talked to, and he was doing the Starfighter sim, and he had it where he had actually modeled the visor in front of the pilot's face, right? And when the pilot got stressed out, you would have fog on the visor, and if he got shot up,
that's crazy.
I can't remember the name now. God damn it. We haven't heard from him in a Michael something.
Yeah.
Michael. His name was Michael.
Yeah, because the Kickstarter didn't make it, so he was going to do it like in a spare time kind of thing. And
yeah, that was really sad that the Kickstarter didn't make it. I can't remember the name of the damn game. I'm so blanking out right now.
Sounds awesome.
It looks great.
It's got a lot of promise. I hope he continues on and finishes that thing because he had a lot of very, very good ideas in there.
He is going to continue on. It's just going to take more time.
But the game that he was looking to make is basically Falcon 4 in space. You know, like the
Rogue system.
Yeah, that's it. And
okay.
Yeah, it's like the amount of depth that he's got going on in there. The cockpit looks like a really beautiful like iPhone interface kind of thing. It's almost like
OS. Is that the one that had the one that was all mouse driven?
Yeah, like, it's like OS 7. Yeah, clickable.
It's all clickable. Awesome. And yeah, you could like hear your pilot like fainting, like hyperventilating, and stuff like that. Yeah, really impressive stuff.
Yeah, because that was the first game that I'd seen where it made it more like I am a person flying a ship than I am a ship that's flying in space.
Gotcha.
Because you were kind of there in the ship. So, it's like you pull a lot of G's and start blacking out and, things like that. So really, awesome. Really interesting ideas that he had going on. But I thought the most impressive thing was like when your pilot would start freaking out, like shields are down and the ship's like got sparks coming off of it and stuff. And he starts like breathing heavy and it's like fogging up, you got like ice crystals forming inside of his helmet and stuff. And it was very, very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be able to make that happen. It's just probably going to take a little longer now that the Kickstarter didn't work.
Yeah. But that's a feature, with the Oculus Rift, man. Can you imagine that? Like if you crack the helmet or something, and then when people are looking around, they have that layer of something between them and the inside of the ship.
Oh, that's a cool idea, actually. I wonder if I could try to think about how I could do that.
That would so freak me out. That really would.
Oculus is all about putting you in the vehicle, right? So that would that would definitely add another layer to it. So the HUD stuff inside the ship, does that pretty much just take care of itself, or is there any kind of thing where I could select displays and that? Like in TIE Fighter, right? You could like cycle your main display through a couple of different informational things.
It just kind of takes care of itself. Because in TIE Fighter you could do like subsystem damage or your current target, right? Like okay.
It'd be like, you go over to the damage display and see, what's going on there. Does your ship, because I've of course died about 100 times during this conversation, but is there a thing where the ship repairs itself? Do I get any kind of a status about things are broke on my ship, or is it just like your shields are down and you're gone?
It's shields and hull right now. I definitely want to do the TIE Fighter style, like, okay, now your subsystem, like whenever you go past, like I think like 25%, like you're down to 75%, 50%, it'll randomly roll to be like, all right, now your targeting is offline. Okay, now your shields are offline, like which always made it feel like you were flying something home that was like near death. And at least now you could just be like, all right, you know what, I'm too damaged, I'm out. And then you call the retreat order and then repair yourself for the next mission.
Yeah, you could hire your wife as a voice actress and have her do the bitch and buddy in the cockpit.
That would be
quite seriously.
I tried that. The whole acting thing doesn't come super naturally to her. So I'll have to I was like, I'm just gonna run it through some filters and everything else, and it didn't work out very well.
But it's like, yeah, I think it would be interesting, like, to have the radio chatter of your ships giving their status, and then just like a general radio chatter that's like of a different tone of what the enemy is that you could turn on or off,
definitely.
I guess. But to hear your ships always talking about their status or what they're doing and that. And then also to have your ship talking to you, like, about things that are going on, like it's pretty obvious, like whenever somebody's attacking you or whatever, because you put it like in big yellow letters, like you're being attacked kind of thing. But like other things that when you get the subsystem damage, that's a natural, where it would talk about that. But like other status things, I don't know if it should come from your wingman or what, like where a wingman would call out to you, like, you know, check your six or whatever, or enemies jumping in. I think like maybe the situational map things would be better coming from the capital ship, because it's probably got like a staff of people sitting staring at monitors that would, you know, it's almost like AWACS, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So in fact, what about like an AWACS ship that you could take out there? You'd get like better radar or something, but you got to keep it alive.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's, that's a good idea too. God damn you guys. I got a list of like,
this is what we do. I'm like, we make games impossible to finish. So this is how we ensure that you stay in game development forever. You just never get it done. So, but anyway, so I think like the more that the game interacts with me, but not all the information has to be to me, right? Like if one ship tells another ship to watch his six, or I'm coming to cover you, or whatever. Like, AI does complex and cool things, and we kind of miss what the AI is thinking. But
yes,
it's nice when the AI calls it out, like, hey, I'm doing this. And it's like, oh, good. You know, I can see that my AI is intelligent. It's not just like it's doing random shit. But it's actually like, hey, you got something on your six. I'm coming to assist.
Yep. No, definitely.
No,
I make sure I play all that up.
Yeah, because it's like you could code the most brilliant AI in the world, but if it doesn't announce how smart it is, then we just don't really notice unless we're on the receiving end of the bullets, and then it's just like, oh god, it's too hard.
Yep, and that's all you know. You just got your ass kicked.
Jim, are you still playing the game like right now?
No, I got out of it. I couldn't hear you guys over the sound of how awesome this game is, so.
It's pretty damn true. Well, we've been talking for a while, so it sounds like we're in a good place to wrap it up. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a very spirited and fun podcast, especially since we kind of started in the middle, it felt like. But that was kind of awesome.
No, it'll make for some good radio. Thanks for having me. Oh, it's good to talk to you guys.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I mean, a lot of people are excited about this game, myself included, and I'm glad Jim is now too.
Oh yeah, dude, add me to the playtester list. Like, just
okay.
I'll need nightly builds. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep an eye on this one. But folks, thank you for listening to this. Is episode 30 officially? 30. This is the 30th episode. I know.
Wow.
I know, we've done 30 of these.
This is almost middle-aged.
I know. What's going on? But thank you for listening to now the 30th episode of the Space Game Junkie podcast. As always, I am Brian on behalf of Jim and Mike. I want to thank you all for listening. And remember, please contact us at hail@spacegamejunkie.com if you have any questions, or leave them in the comments below. Thank you for listening, and have a great day or night wherever you are.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
I may have sunshine down, but I see only one. When I think I'm over you, I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no more in the light.